हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः 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 ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Joy. So now we have the Trigartas then attacking the Matsya kingdom, and the Trigarta king Sushruta has captured the Virat king. The Matsya king Virat. And so now then Yudhishthira instructs Bhima to rescue him, free him. And that Bhima has a plan. He says, yes, I'm going to take that huge sal tree over there, because sal trees are big, hard, and straight. I'm going to take that and, ripping that out of the ground, then I'm going to rout the army. Bhima moved towards a huge sal tree nearby, but Yudhishthira checked him. Oh, child, do not be rash. If you uproot this tree and perform superhuman deeds, people will be amazed and say, surely this is Bhima. Take some other weapons so that people will not recognize you. Go on your chariot and the twins will protect your wheels. Release the king. Right? So then he checks them there, because otherwise people will talk. And, if you get more talk, then they're not that far from Hastinapur. Hastinapur is there, I think, if towards the west you have the Trigartas and all that. And kind of a little bit towards the north over here, you have the Matsyas and like that. And so, yeah. So you don't want to, you're still close. It's not like you're in down in Kanyakumari or something like that. So that'll take them a while to get there, no. Bhima urged on his charioteer and raced towards Sushruta, who was heading away with the captive king. Nakula and Sahadev rode on either side and carved through the Trigarta forces. Approaching Sushruta, Bhima yelled, wait, turn and fight. Behold how a mighty feat of arms. Now a mighty feat of arms as I throw you down with all your followers. Right? Because there's a challenge, because you want to create the mood. Because it's all, you're doing your duties, but there's also a mood in doing your duties. So for them, in this case, then the chivalry is important. Like with the Brahmins, it'll be how, proper it is, conclusive it is, how well presented, or the grammar, these kind of things. For the Vaishya, it'll be, the proper thing and how well it's planned and how nicely it makes profit, or for the Shudra, how well the art is being expressed and or the skill is and craft is being expressed. And so these will give them all a taste. So for the Kshatriyas, then their taste in the battlefield is going to be that chivalry. So naturally they're going to say something and they turn around and this and that. Bhima let go a steady stream of arrows and Sushruta turned to face him. When the Trigarta saw the powerful Bhima and the twins before him, it seemed to him that Yamaraj, flanked by death and time, right, had come to do battle. Along with his sons and generals, he tried to withstand the Pandavas' attack. But hundreds were being killed. Chariots were smashed and elephants slain. Means hundreds on their side are being killed. Three of them are coming. Like that. Horses with the riders fell like trees blown over in a storm. The Pandavas' forceful arrows swept in clouds through Sushruta's ranks and created havoc. Bhima leapt from his chariot and rushed about, whirling his mace, mowing the infantry down like a field of corn. Right? Because you're going to have the army and you're going to have the foot soldiers and the horses right in front, because they means one is they take up the space and like that, and they can move quickly. Behind will have the chariots and all these others, but then you can always, like they've done, the Pandavas, they've just cut through. But so Bhima then will get down and wipe out the foot soldiers, because you have to be careful of them. You have thousands of foot soldiers around a chariot. They could all mob the chariot. So you do want to take care that they're not going to give any trouble. Witnessing the devastation, Sushruta was astonished. It seemed that these three warriors would annihilate them. Right? He was worried about Kichika and his Wallas. But it's three of them are more trouble than Kichika was with his Wallas. He pulled his bow back to his ear and sent long steel shafts at the roaring Pandavas. Bhima struck the straight-flying arrows with his mace, and the twins struck at them with their swords. Encouraged by the Pandavas' prowess, the remainder of Virat's army rallied and charged back into the fight. Right. So they had captured the king, so naturally now the army just disperses. But then with the Pandavas going in and routing the Trigartha's army, then they get inspired and they come back. Because when there's some big fighting, they're all going to watch. They're all warriors. And so for them, it's great sport. And so then when they see that this is, then they get inspired and come back. Yudhishthira rode into their midst, working a great bow. Right? So the three of them went. And so then now Yudhishthira is leading Virat's army. And the others, they're on their own. With sharpened arrows, the eldest Pandava quickly dispatched 1,000 Trigartha warriors to death's abode. Bhima, back on his chariot and fighting alongside his brother, killed 7,000. Nakul and Sahadev, focusing their efforts on protecting their elder brothers, slew a further 1,000 brave Trigartha fighters. Right? So one is they're fighting and attacking, and others are protecting, and at the same time, while they're protecting, they're still attacking. We see that they're that good. Because generally, if you shoot something and then he defends, he shoots something, you defend. But they're so good, they can defend and shoot extra arrows to attack. Like that. Arjuna was very good at that. Susharma began to retreat, and Bhima went after him swiftly. He killed Susharma's 4 horses and brought him to a halt. Seeing his opportunity, Virat grabbed a mace and leapt from the chariot. The old Matsya king began fighting Susharma's troops, right? So he's captured on his chariot. But now that he's stopped the chariot and that, and Susharma is so busy fighting, then Virat saw the opportunity. He grabs a mace off the chariot, because the chariot will be full of arrows and weapons and everything needed. And so then he starts dealing with the troops, wielding his mace and dancing about like a young man. Susharma jumped from his chariot and raced away. Bhima called out to him, "Stop! It is not becoming of heroes to fly away. With such prowess, why did you think of stealing Virat's cows? If you're just going to run away, why did you even bother coming here? Why are you now abandoning your followers? Right? Because he's running away, but his men are still there fighting." Susharma, provoked, again turned to face Bhima. "Stand and fight," he shouted, brandishing his iron club. Bhima leapt down, right? So he took out his club and he's telling, "Oh, Bhima, you're saying this to me? Okay, you come in with your club." Bhima leapt down and rushed towards the bellowing Susharma as a lion attacks a deer. Not caring for Susharma's blows, Bhima seized him by the hair and dashed him to the ground, right? So he's beating with the things, but Bhima wasn't even worried about that. He just walked over and grabbed him. Like, his others would have to defend themselves and try to find a way in. No, he just, you know, he's hitting him with that, and so. Pulling him back up, he struck him several fierce blows. Susharma fell gasping to the ground. Bhima placed his knee on his breast and dealt him powerful blows to the head. Susharma lost consciousness, and Bhima dragged him to his chariot. He took the insensible Trigartha king to Virat and said, "Behold this sinful man whom I have captured. Surely he does not deserve to live." The king replied, "Release the wretch." Bhima dragged Susharma to his feet, and, as he returned to consciousness, snarled at him, "Although I should slay you for stealing the cows, I will release you. According to Kshatriya custom, you are now Virat's slave." Right? He's supposed to fight for Virat. "You must declare this wherever you go. Only if you agree to this condition will you be allowed to live. Now go, and do not again perform such rash acts." Right? So even without Kichika, then he came there thinking, "We're going to catch these people and expand our kingdom." And then he was defeated. Susharma bent his head low and climbed down from his chariot. He bowed to Virat and left, taking with him the remnants of his army. Right, so it's not that he left with his army, with the remnants of the army. Right? Yeah. The Matsyas cheered. They surrounded the Pandavas, still unaware of their identities, and praised them. Virat said, "Today I've been saved by you 4 heroes. All this kingdom's wealth is as much yours as mine. I will bestow upon you nicely adorned women and heaps of gems. Tell me what you wish to have, and it is yours. Indeed, become the rulers of my kingdom. What more can I say? Because he's also elderly. And so he's thinking, yeah, if these younger men could rule the kingdom, then, you know, the kingdom would be in good hands. Because for the king, it's not about the succession of their family members. It's about a succession that rules the king properly, kingdom properly, and the people are secure and prosperous. So if it's his own son, great. If it's someone else, then that's fine, as long as they have the qualification. And generally, because they're qualified, their son's going to have the potential, he'll be trained to become qualified. And this way, yes, it goes down through the line of the kings, you know, through the family dynasty. But it's not about the dynasty. It's about the proper ruling. Yudhishthir said humbly, O king, we are pleased with your words, but it is sufficient for us that you are freed from danger. Come, Virat said, I will install you as king of the Matyas. How can I rule in your majestic presence? Because he saw, because he's not foolish. He'll be watching everything, because that's the thing. We may get bewildered on the battlefield, but warriors don't. You know, just like, let's say there's a person he knows computers and all that. He doesn't become bewildered, whatever the computer throws at him. But maybe put him in a social environment, he doesn't know. But let's say someone who works in a social environment, they don't become bewildered there, but put him in some practical environment, they can't function. You know, so everybody has their area that they don't get bothered in. So the king, being there, watching everything, he can see Yudhishthir, how he's organizing the brothers, how he sent the brothers over, how he's controlling it and like that. So you can see, no, he's the leader. Like that. This one's the most powerful fighter. These guys are like excellent fighters and, you know, back up these others, but he's the leader. How can I rule in your majestic presence? It is due to you alone that I am even able to see my kingdom and my relatives today. Right? Otherwise, you know, much the king took him, you don't know what'll happen. You know, he might have taken him back to his kingdom and just locked him up in jail and just leave him there. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. Yudhishthir held up his hands in deference. We are not able to rule Matsya. Pray, forgive us. O king, you should continue to rule this prosperous kingdom in peace and happiness. Send emissaries into the capital to announce your victory. Right? So people should be sent ahead to say it was victorious, because the people may or may not know. Some can see, but they may not understand what's happening like that. But they'll know, but they're not necessarily going to tell everybody, other than, you know, they'll tell someone in through gossip, it'll go around. So he's saying some people in, they'll go in and announce like this, so then the people will be inspired, they'll come out, they'll get the proper welcome, because that's also a very important thing, is when the forces come back, they should be properly welcomed. Like we see, I can't say in other places, but I know, let's say in America, then after the great wars, then when they came back, then it was such a reception. And like that. Also, I think Korean War, decent reception, but the Vietnam War, there was no reception. And so they felt very, very bad that they were out fighting on behalf of the country, and nobody cared. And so it's a very important element, you know, in the minds of for warriors and soldiers, that they're laying down their, you know, risking their lives, and that, and so many lay down their lives, but that's appreciated, because otherwise the other people, okay, you're running a little, you know, banana doke on, but how is that working? It's because it's peaceful. Like, if there's war going on, you can't sell your bananas. There won't be any bananas, right? Send emissaries into the capital to announce your victory. In keeping with the custom of the victorious, we must spend this night on the battlefield. So then there's also that, is that you stay there, you got that, don't want to talk, that, because if they go back now, they're only going to talk about, they're not going to interact and all that. So they stay there, and you know, they're victorious, they'll be so enthused, they can discuss things, they make the plans and everything like that. So they stay the night on the battlefield. So the emissaries go in and then, you know, tell everybody, and then the next day it'll be something glorious like that. But Virat turned to his ministers and ordered them to carry news of their victory to the city. Let damsels and courtesans bedecked with ornaments and carrying musical instruments come out of the city to entertain the troops. Right, so they sit there, and then even here, people come out and that, and they'll be, you know, nicely entertained. Then when they come into the city, then everybody else and everything. The king said delightedly. The ministers left at once, and the warriors prepared to spend the night on the field. field. So chapter 38. Arjuna encounters the Kurus. At dawn the next day, right, because they spent the night, but at dawn the next day, the Kaurava army arrived at the opposite side of the city from where the battle with the Trikartas had been fought. Right, and so the cities are big, the lands are big, you know, because this will be the capital. So then, you know, you have the Matsya army on the opposite side of the city. The Kauravas arrived on this side. Finding herds of cattle grazing there, they immediately seized them, right? They already did that. And so because the battle's here, the cowherds are going to move the cows exactly to the opposite side, right? You know. Once again, the terrified cowherds, seeing the Kaurava banners, fled into the city, right? There's no end of problems here. They ran to the royal court, crying for protection. Virat's eldest son, Bhumijaya, was sitting on the king's throne in the king's absence, right? Because he went out himself with his other four sons, the elder ones. And so one stayed back. And so then, because he's staying back, because what if something happens, he'll still be there to rule. Because even if they're defeated by the others, the kingdom has to be ruled. And so the general practice is, therefore, then, if you've defeated the king, then, you know, the next one in line would. It's because he went out with sons. If they're all defeated, then there's somebody there. Only in case they're inimical, they won't deal, then the victorious king might put somebody else on the throne. But generally thing is just, no, it's the next one. Because now you know, we can defeat you, so now you behave nicely. You're one of our vassals. The cowherd leader came before him and said, "O prince, mighty hero, we depend on you alone. The mighty Kauravas with Duryodhana in the lead are seizing our cows. Defend the honor of our race. The king has always praised your heroism and power. Taking whatever soldiers that still remain in the city, display your power. You are this kingdom's greatest support. You resemble Arjuna himself. We beseech you to save us." Addressed thus in front of the palace ladies, right, because the ladies can watch and everything like that, Bhumijaya replied proudly, "I will surely display my prowess with the bow today, but I need a skilled charioteer. My own charioteer was recently slain and has not been replaced. Find the best of men to drive my horses, for I will fight a tremendous battle with the haughty Kauravas. Entering into their army of elephants, chariots, and horsemen, I will destroy them. After striking terror into the hearts of Duryodhana, Bhishma, Karna, and Kripa, I will bring back the cows. The assembled crews will see my prowess and will wonder if it is Arjuna who is fighting with them." Because right, Arjuna is known, he's the gold standard. So you say, you know, you're fighting as good as Arjuna, that's the best. But he's also, we can see, the youngest. And so the prince's brave words circulated through the palace and soon reached Arjuna. Right, because the ladies were there, so they're going to talk amongst themselves. Delighted at the chance to confront Duryodhana, he approached Draupadi and said, "Go at once to the prince and tell him that Brihandala was formerly Arjuna's charioteer. O slender waist princess, convince him to let me drive his chariot into battle against the Kurus." Draupadi went straight to the royal court, where he found Bhumijaya still vaunting his prowess, still going on, right? So he's been saying this. The ladies have heard it. They've started talking amongst themselves. It gets farther and farther into the, you know, inner court that it gets to Arjuna. Arjuna sees, okay, there's a good chance he goes to Draupadi. Tells Draupadi to talk to the king. So, you know, by the time he comes out, he's still talking about how great he is. Right? You know, so. Unable to bear his repeated references to Arjuna, she stepped forward and said, "The beautiful youth resembling an elephant and know by the name Brihandala was once Arjuna's charioteer. He was the disciple of Partha and is himself a mighty bowman. I saw him when I lived with the Pandavas. It was Brihandala who drove Arjuna's chariot when he vanquished the gods at Kandava. Indeed, there is no charioteer like him." Right? Because if you're a chariot fighter, you have to know how to drive a chariot. You know, just like if you're fighting on a horse, you have to know how to deal with a horse. Right? Bhumijaya looked at her in surprise. "How can I ask a eunuch to govern my horses?" he said. Okay, so we'll see how this, in the next discussion, how this unfolds and how the prince then, you know, how he deals and how he you know, how the whole thing unfolds with between him and Brihandala and the Kuru army. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.